Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want to mourn the field train and tell them that we love them.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest and I felt outraged.
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is going to hurt you a lot more than it's going to hurt me. Come to think of it, it's going to hurt both of us, like, really bad. This is Wretched Radio. Prepare to be tortured. I mean, here, a video presentation from a group of liberal theologians at A Call to Christians in a crisis of faith and democracy. Guess what? They fear that democracy is under threat. And so they've written a lengthy, and I mean lengthy, come on, people. This is 2026. Nobody has the attention span to read a long document. Why we write, it goes on for days. And then it includes a number of signatories that are, of course, from a lot of churches that have you and I in them. You know the uni rule. If it has you and I in that order, it's probably liberal. It features individuals like Shane Claiborne. It features Jim Wallace. It features a lot of women wearing clerical collars. Oh, there's the Presbyterian Church USA, not to be confused with America. Do you hear that? There's the uni rule. United, there it is, you and I. States of America Presbyterians, they have veered off of the Presbyterian rails now long ago. You see a lot here from the United Methodist Church. Hey, there's some good news about the Methodist Church. They've gone over 7,000. The conservative denomination that has been receiving churches that have abandoned the United Methodist Church denomination now totals over 7,000 conservative Methodist churches. Hey, that's some good news, isn't it? Let me share with you what their concerns are, and then you're going to get tortured. You're going to listen to, this is so aggravating, the video presentation. No, let's do the video now. And that, see, I'm doing that for selfish reasons, because once I start playing it, nobody's going to listen. And then I can just goof up all day. And then the pressure is off of me. Here we go. Get ready for this video, which is going to sound like it was recorded about 20 years ago when this trend was actually trendy.
We are Christians.
We are Christians.
We are Christians.
We are Christians.
You know, that deal, you know, where you record like 20 people saying the exact same thing and then you cut it together. Hello, 2006 called.
In the United States, speaking together in a moment of political
and moral
and spiritual crisis. This moment demands courage. 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 Because silence
courage.
Is not neutrality.
Silence is a choice. A choice that allows harm to continue.
Our democracy is being dismantled.
And of course, democracy is being... So the people who are saying, we'd like to go back to the original system, which is not pure democracy, by the way, it's a representative republic. So we're the ones who are dismantling their newly invented version of democracy. Oh, that's so galling.
Our freedoms are being eroded.
Our neighbors are being disappeared.
Wait. Jimmy, look, I don't want to be a... you know, grammar person from the Third Reich in that part of Germany in the 1940s, because you can't say the word Nazi.
Yeah.
They're being disappeared. That ain't good grammarly, I think.
They're being disappeared.
Their freedoms. Yeah.
Okay. Now, maybe she misspoke. However, if you go down to the actual document of why we write this... They got bad grammarly there too, because they say the exact same thing. We're facing a cruel and oppressive government. Citizens and immigrants being demonized, disappeared, and even killed. So that would be being disappeared. I think it's just they're disappearing, not being disappeared.
Our faith.
Our faith is being
tested.
It is time for Christians to be clear about who we serve.
When faith becomes a weapon, it stops being faithful.
We refuse to sanctify cruelty.
We refuse to excuse corruption.
We refuse to confuse authoritarian power with divine authority. Our allegiance.
Please note, by the way, what they're lamenting is their perception is that somehow faith is being used to impose particular values onto the government. Now, let's just think for a moment what these theologians are trying to do. Seems to me they're trying to use their religion to tell the government how they're supposed to be acting. Hey, wait a second! If you're even accurate at all, I guess we're both doing the exact same thing.
Our allegiance belongs to God.
We commit to following Jesus' teachings.
So we choose to act.
Now, how do these liberals plan to act? Listen very, very carefully.
Protect those in harm's way.
To stand with immigrants and refugees.
To rebuke racism and Christian nationalism.
To love our neighbors without exception.
To speak truth to power.
To seek peace.
To do justice. To defend democracy. Because every person.
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 Every person. Image of God.
All right, so there's the premise. Everybody bears the image of God. Therefore, you have to allow illegal immigration. Let's replace one issue with another. This is always a helpful exercise. So if we're going to use everybody as imago Dei, describe that person. Therefore, we need to receive those people. All right, let's just use embezzlement. There are embezzlers that are made in the image of God, and therefore they have rights and we shouldn't put them into jail. You'd go, well, wait, what does imago Dei have to do with lawbreaking? yeah, exactly. But what I find actually quite interesting in this little letter that they put together explaining what they're uptight about is how they plan to go about affecting change. Now, just to make sure nobody gets the impression that I am a Christian nationalist, I've made that very clear that I'm not a Christian nationalist as being defined by the way that the media does. Like, oh, these are the people that just want to take away everybody's rights and impose Christian values. I'm not a Christian nationalist. I do believe that it is best when Christian principles are applied to government. Now, how we get there, I believe it is through the conversion of citizens that then become informed politicians who then go about the business of voting righteously and introducing just laws. Now, they have a problem with Christian nationalism because they're trying to fight to get their way. Let me read the document from the liberals. We're facing a cruel and oppressive government, citizens and immigrants being demonized, being disappeared. That just hurts my soul. And even killed. The erosion of hard-won rights and freedoms in a calculated effort to reverse America's growing racial and ethnic diversity. It's not because of skin color. It's because of law. That's what confronts us is not only an endangerment to democracy, tired of that, but it's also the rise of tyranny. It is also a Christian faith corrupted by the heretical ideology of white Christian nationalism. Okay, I'm not a Christian nationalist. I don't think they're heretics. That doesn't even come close. I disagree with my brothers and sisters who are. That doesn't rise to the level of heresy. And so, therefore, we represent a lot of different Christians and we call on people to sign this document and do what? Lo and behold, I see the word resist. Oh, they want to be a resistance movement, do they? So they're using their faith to inform their politics and then resist the government. Now, that that has kind of an inkling of actual Christian nationalism. So has these folks, they are, this is so similar to what secularists do. Everything that is this, they make that, and then that is this. Everything that is up is down, that is down, that is up. Everything that they critique, they're actually doing. It's enough to drive you bonkers. And then they have the gall in this particular document to say, we believe in, ready for this, the sovereignty of God. Really, Jim Wallace? Really? That you believe in it? We believe in the word of God. And so it is, they are using their religion to tell people to resist. And it even appears to me to impede government officials from doing their job. That to me sounds an awful lot like somebody who's using their religion to impose their values on the government realm. Wait a second. Excuse me. Hold on. Jimmy, is that the cooking down the hall that you've been bellyaching about?
I think that's irony.
I think it is too. You're right. It's absolute irony. Sorry for the torture. This is Wretched Radio.
Your son asked to use your cell phone yesterday, and for just a split second, your heart stopped. And it wasn't because of what you thought he might find. You're careful about that, but because of what you knew he wouldn't find. Evidence of a man actually living for Christ. See, our kids don't care about our Sunday morning Christianity. They watch us when we think no one's looking. They notice when Dad disappears into his office and locks the door. What if your son could actually see a father who's genuinely free? A dad whose private life matches up with his public faith. That's not a fantasy, it's an actual reality, because men experience that transformation every day when they stop trying to manage their sin and let Christ kill it instead. Todd Friel's Play the Man shows you exactly how that works. There's no gimmicks, there's no quick fixes. It's just full of biblical truth about how God transforms men. Play the Man by Todd Friel. It's available right now as an audiobook, an ebook, and video series only at fortisplus.org. Hey, look, some battles, they're just too important to lose.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California, beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You ever been sitting in a sermon and your pastor drops a Greek word like he actually expects you to know what it means?
Well, in the original Greek, the word metanoia, and you're just nodding along like you totally followed that.
Well, what if you actually could follow it? Our resource, It's Not Greek to Me, is a basic Greek primer that teaches you to read your New Testament in the original language. It's not seminary-level memorization. It's just enough to understand what your pastor's talking about, to get more out of commentaries and footnotes, and do your own word studies so you know exactly what God intended to communicate. There's 10 lessons. It's perfect for individuals and families and Sunday school classes and homeschoolers or just anyone preparing for a more serious study down the road. This is the language that God himself chose to write your New Testament, and learning it, even the basics, will change the way you study Scripture. It's Not Greek to Me. It's streaming for free right now on Fortis Plus. Download the app where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. A Good Shepherd protects, directs, provides, and cares for his sheep. Jesus laid down his life for his sheep. No one can snatch them out of his hand. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If that weren't agitating enough, here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. This is wretched.
This is wretched.
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 Wretched. Wretched.
Wretched.
This is wretched.
This is wretched.
This is wretched radio.
This is wretched radio.
There we did it. Just like the liberals did in their little video right there.
That was tough.
Oh, man. Honestly, when did that? I mean, that was all the rage for a while.
Yeah, it was.
And it was like a couple of times it's like, oh, okay, I see what you did there. But it's so unbearably predictable and repetitious. It's like, oh, could you get up to speed, liberals? No, the answer is no. By the way, I think we might have to do a slight alteration or just a little asterisk to our uni rule. Anytime you see the letters U and I in that order, you probably got yourself a liberal, and I'm looking at all the signatories of this very liberal document, acalltochristians.org. You can go there yourself if you want to be pistol whipped. And I see a lot of unis, but I'm also seeing a lot of councils, C-O-U-N-C-I. So it's not uni exactly because there's a C in there, but it's close enough to make the rule, but it is a little bit of an asterisk. So it's the uni / Unky rule. You see those letters, look out. It's a really good sign. I see a lot of Fuller Theological Seminary, the Prophetic Foundry. Oh, Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration. There was a Roman Catholic group that got together, aided, by the way, what is this about? By an attorney from the Southern Baptist Convention, the ERLC helped the Roman Catholics state that they don't like the immigration policies. Huh? And then I read this, speaking of Roman Catholic, Jerry Johnson. Yeah. Richard Land. I wish he had written more. Richard Land in the Christian Post announced, to my knowledge, I hadn't heard it before, that a few weeks ago, Dr. Jerry Johnson has become a Roman Catholic. Now, if you don't know Jerry Johnson, you maybe remember him from NRB. He was there before Troy Miller. I know Troy, good brother. Jerry Johnson, I believe, preceded him from 2013 to 2019. This dude was a Southern Baptist. I mean, like, whoa. He went to Criswell College, graduated with honors. He then enrolled in Conservative Baptist Seminary in Denver, Colorado. Is that seminary still conservative? Was it ever actually conservative? I've never heard of it. That's all. It's just Conservative Baptist Seminary in Denver, Colorado, where he earned his MDiv with high honors, then went to Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, PhD in Christian Ethics, involved in the conservative resurgence and the Southern Baptist Convention, served as Dean of Boyce College, President of Criswell College, Vice President for Academic Development in Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. And he decided, I think I want to work my way to heaven by petitioning Mary to help me out because I can't get there by myself. But I'm not going to fully believe in grace alone through faith alone in Christ alone. How in the world does something like that happen? I would love to sit down with Jerry and ask him how you can go from grace to works. Because the Roman Catholic system, it is a system of works, not to mention all of the other issues. Yeah, we have some similarities, Trinitarian theology, etc. But so many fundamentals, nothing has changed in over 500 years. How do you go from being a conservative Baptist to Roman Catholic? All right, I don't know for sure, but there's a couple of reasons that I've seen over the years why so many people disaffect, if you will, and swim the Tiber. They want that traditional thing. I want something older than Southern Baptist. Now, if you're a good Southern Baptist, of course, you say you were founded by John the Baptist, but it's a little tricky to trace that. So there's people who's like, I want to be a part of what was the one true church on earth. And I want to be able to trace my lineage all the way back to the apostles, which, by the way, you can't do. You can't even trace the papacy from Peter to probably at least, I mean, being very generous with the Bishop of Rome. This is really generous, and I'm probably going to want to take, well, okay, then I'll just to be on the safe side, 4th century. Who were the popes? You don't have themselves identifying themselves as such. How is it that a man goes from being the president of Conservative Baptist Seminary? Is it still in business, Jimmy?
Let me look and see real quick.
Oh, I thought that's what you were doing.
No.
You had that research look on your face.
I was looking into him, but I didn't go to the seminary.
What did I say it was? Conservative Baptist Seminary?
I believe so. Uh-huh.
Denver, Colorado. I've just never heard of it before. Make sure with your kids that you teach them that they do have a heritage with the one true church, and it is not the Roman Catholic Church. It is the universal church, the invisible church that has existed since Jesus said he was going to build it. He has, and the members of it are not a part of any denomination. They are the ones who are truly born again. That is your ancestry. That is your heritage. There is an itch. I don't understand it. It's a similar itch, I think, to all of the people who dig getting their DNA and their ancestry.com done. They want to know where they came from. I don't know what that itch is. I don't have that particular one. But people seem to, and they like it. And if you don't scratch it for your children, they might just do what Jerry Johnson did. What a bummer. Jimmy, you got the Conservative Baptist Seminary?
Yeah, I think it is still in business. I'm not 100% sure of that, but it appears to be.
How can you appear to be in business?
Well, I'm not finding a website. They may have changed their name. I'm just early in the search. I'm not really.
Oh, I wonder if that's just, it was Denver Theological Seminary.
And now that could have been,
Talk to AI and get back to us.
I will.
I want to say, is it Klein, the theologian that's out at Denver? So that seminary, is it conservative? Well, it leans to the right conservative. Is it as conservative as, say, I don't know, I am? No. But it still leans, I think, at least in that direction. Last time I checked, but it has been a bit. And while Jimmy is using AI, let me tell you about the dangers of AI. Well, this is a headline from the Christian Post. A third of Christians trust spiritual advice from AI. Oh, that's a problem. They get it from artificial intelligence and they think it's just as good as a pastor's advice. And you know what? In a lot of instances, I wouldn't argue with you because it depends on the pastors. Okay, speaking of pastors, I also read that the trust in pastors is it's at an all-time low, that people, they do this somewhat regularly where they ask people, hey, what do you think about this profession? Do you think that this profession is trustworthy? Here it is right here. The trustworthiness of clergy is at a record low over the last 50 years. Gallup's annual honesty and ethics survey, only 27% of the American public rank clergy as high or very high in the scale. And then a bunch of other professions reach the bottom too. Pharmacists, high school teachers, police officers. Well, that's not a surprise. They've been taking a beating now since COVID. Business executives, stockbrokers, telemarketers. So the trustworthiness of pastors is at an all-time low. Where are people going? They're going to the AI machine and they're doing the Ask Jesus, and they think talk to Jesus, and guess what? They're trusting it more than they trust their pastors. 4 in 10 Christians say AI has helped them with prayer, Bible study, and spiritual growth. 442 Protestant pastors were surveyed. 41% report using AI for Bible study and preparation. Not necessarily bad, but if they're using it to write their sermons, then that's a big problem. By the way, a third of practicing Christians would like guidance from their pastor on navigating technology, but only 12% of pastors say that they know what advice to give. I don't know that I would put that one on your pastor. I guess, you know, to a degree, I think that he can say, hey, getting your spiritual advice from AI is really dangerous. I noticed on the AI machine, it even has a notice now. Hey, we don't always get stuff right. You might want to check the facts on important things like your soul. They don't say that part, but that is an important thing. So, Pastor, I guess you could speak out about the dangers of AI, but expecting your pastor to teach the congregation how to navigate, not so sure that that's inside of his job description or purview. Jimmy, what have we learned on the AI machine now that we've just trashed the AI machine?
It looks like it changed its name to Denver Seminary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, not theological, just Denver Seminary.
Just Denver Seminary.
So they don't teach theology? Is that what you're saying? Is that what your accusation is?
I didn't say it.
This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Let's start with the big picture today. New research shows that in 2026, only 8% of the world's babies will be born in Europe and North America combined. Africa accounts for 36%, Asia 49%, Latin America 7%, North America specifically 3%. Yeah, when a civilization decides children are optional, the math eventually makes the decision for you, doesn't it? And that cultural freefall has a price tag in Canada as well. In British Columbia, a school trustee named Laurie Thronis, I hope I said that right, Laurie, she resigned February 26th after a human rights tribunal hit former trustee Barry Newfield with a fine of $750,000 plus interest for publicly opposing gender ideology. The tribunal ruled that rejecting the idea that gender identity is separate from biological sex constitutes existential denial. Somehow, a $750,000 fine for believing and living by reality doesn't feel much like a free country, does it? On the international front, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth issued a warning on Monday. The administration is actively monitoring for domestic threats tied to Operation Epic Fury, the U.S. campaign targeting Iran's missile and nuclear capabilities and naval forces. Reports indicate that the same day the Ayatollah and other regime leaders were killed, an Austin, Texas shooting left 2 dead and 14 injured, with the FBI investigating a possible terrorism connection. Now to the story, it seems like, of the day, of New York City Mayor Zohran Mamdani. I really would rather not report on him as much as I am, but he's had a different take on what's going on in the Middle East. He posted on X that the strike was a catastrophic escalation in an illegal war of aggression and assured Iranian New Yorkers, you will be safe here. That post racked up 20 million views, with Senator Ted Cruz responding that Comrade Mayor is rooting for the Ayatollah. And one Iranian journalist who fled the regime herself said she feels anything but safe after hearing the mayor express sympathy for a government she says killed more than 30,000 unarmed Iranians in less than a day. In Tennessee, a bill is drawing fire from an unexpected corner. Pro-lifers. An addendum to HB 570, backed by Representative Jody Barrett and Mark Pody, would treat abortion as homicide from fertilization. Critics say the vague language could pull women into investigations after miscarriages or ectopic pregnancy care. The bill also allows for retroactive investigations. Protecting the unborn's a righteous cause, you'll get no argument from me, but writing law that puts grieving mothers in legal jeopardy? Not the way to get there. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. Both of those things can be done at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Important dates in Christian history. 70 AD. Titus destroys Jerusalem and the temple. The separation between Christianity and Judaism deepens, and Christians spread throughout the Roman Empire, spreading the gospel as they go. God uses tragedy to forward his great commission. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you like vacuuming, you just might, emphasis on might, enjoy this. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, do you like the vacuuming?
Not really. I do it a lot.
Well, that just put the brakes on this conversation. You don't like it. You don't find it satisfying when you're vacuuming carpet, hardwood floor, and all of a sudden you're... and you got something. It's like fishing. you got it, and you just sucked it up there, and it disappeared. It's just like, yeah, that I've accomplished something. You don't like the vacuuming? You like mowing the lawn?
I'd love that.
You're inconsistent then. It's the same thing.
No, it's not.
All right. Answer honestly. Have you ever been vacuuming? You get near the floorboard and there's a crumb or a thread and you can't pick it up because it's too close, but you refuse to bend over and pick it up. So you just slam the vacuum
into the wall.
Into the wall.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And then, and if you don't get it, if you're not successful, you finally give in, you bend over, pick it up.
Yep.
But what do? You don't throw it away. You throw it to the middle of the room so you can just
get right over it.
Yeah, exactly. I'll teach you a lesson, Pally boy. If you like vacuuming, you might like this because we're going to do a little cleanup. If you recall just a wee bit ago, talking about that liberal organization, A Call to Christians, which is basically them using their religion to inform the government and to critique those who use their religion to try to form the government. And it just dawned on me that they used a strategy that's really tricky. I'm trying to think of the name of that communist word, fife, trife, tiffle, something like that. We talked about it a few weeks ago. It's a communist tactic to make you look dumb if you argue with them on a position. So you take a position and you phrase it in such a way that any disagreement with it makes it look like you're cruel. Well, I think there's another tactic that liberals tend to use. And I just noticed it when I was looking at this website, acalltochristians.org, with all the liberals, you know, saying, we believe this, you should do that, and you shouldn't tell people what to do with your beliefs while we're telling you what to do because our beliefs. The letter, remember I mentioned it was super long? There's a reason for that. It was just sentence after sentence that demands so much explanation. Like every, like parenthetical remark, no, wait a second, hold on, that's not good. And they hit you with so many of these, what appear at least on the surface, may have some credibility to them. But if you stop and actually analyze them, they don't. But you can't stop and analyze them because you can't stop and analyze everything. And one of that triffle, tiffle, communist word thing strategy, same thing. Not only does it make you look mean if you say, wait a second, I need to clarify that. Oh, you're mean because you don't want this or you believe in that. But it also takes forever to unwind it. And the same thing is true with what those liberals did. They write so many statements. So it's like, well, no, that's not, no, because they're here illegally. No, that's not what they're trying. You can't win. It's a strategy. And it's effective, unfortunately. And it's loaded, by the way, with the, Jimmy, what was the name of that communist word? Triffle, tiffle.
I'm looking.
Sniffle. Are you looking?
I'm asking AI, but it's got a new feature where it likes to think a lot and you can't make it stop.
Well, sure you can. Tell them to make it snappy. Who's the boss here? Speaking of AI, here's another cleanup for us. Was listening to the Spotify machine and the... If you work at Spotify, could you please talk to the people in traffic management at Spotify about not repeating the same commercials over and over again for those of us who are too cheap? Maybe that's the strategy. Because if you don't pay for it, they play commercials. I can live with that. It's a struggle to only get 5 changes per hour. But because I'm so cheap, I'm going to live with all of it. But they keep playing the same commercial. Maybe that's how they get you to upgrade. And the commercial that they kept playing, this one didn't bother me as much as others have. It's a podcast about AI. And it said something that immediately caught my attention. AI is not an oracle. AI is a genie. I think that has some truth to it. It doesn't give you the right information. It gives you your wish. What do you want? All right, I'm in a somewhat friendly banter with somebody who would like to provide a service for the ministry. And I looked up what it should cost for said service on my AI machine. And it was a rate a lot less than what was quoted. So he looks it up on his AI machine, feeds it the information as he sees it. And guess what? AI agreed with him. So I took his information, his exact information, and instead of it being, I presented this bid, I said, I received this bid and I don't think it was fair. And guess what AI said? You're right. It's not fair. Well, wait, hold on a second. And that's when it dawned on me. It's not an oracle. It's a genie. You can rely on that to give you information beyond sheer facts or quotations or statistics that have been verified and certified. If you ask it to think, you are getting something other than the truth. Almost always. It's not an oracle, it's a genie. And it was interesting, they said that if the hardest job in AI is not doing the building of AI, the technological aspect of AI, it's managing it and training people to be able to get the right information from it, because it does take a lot. If you want AI to do something, you have to feed it, you have to massage it, you have to make sure that you're instructing it rightly so that you get what it is that you are presumably needing from it. And I thought, that's AI in a nutshell. That is AI in a nutshell. It is not trustworthy unless you manage it well. So if you are using it, don't be making big life decisions like so many people are with the asking AI about spiritual things. Very bad idea. What is the name of the fellow? Jack? Jack. We're just going to call him Jack. We're on a first name basis. He owns a 10,000 employee shop. He's a technology guy. Dorsey. Jack Dorsey, I believe. And he just laid off 4,000 people. Why? AI. AI. They took the jobs of 4,000 people. And I thought, and how are we going to replace those jobs? To date, I have not seen a way that those jobs are going to be replaced. AI doesn't scare me because, well, the first country that get it is going to own the planet. Nah, I just don't buy it. That's never been true with anything. Henry Ford invented the car, but they've got him now in China because that's just the way the globe works. Everybody will have the same access. People will catch up to those who make a breakthrough. I don't think that it's going to run the universe. It's not capable of that anyway, but I do think it's going to trash a lot of people's lives, as 4,000 people. And having said that, I did read something that just might possibly be a tip for you. Oh, where did it go? Okay, I've got to find this statistic for you. Got it. Here it is. Three Village. I don't know what Three Village is. It's a town. The Three Village Central School District Board of Education, they're starting to have serious conversations because of the Assistant Superintendent for Human Resources claiming 59.4% of current staff will become retirement eligible by 2036. So there's going to be a ton of vacancies in teaching. The largest department will be elementary teachers. Educators become eligible for their retirement over the next 10 years. So there's going to be a lot of jobs available. So if you are young and you're thinking about a vocation, teaching kids is a beautiful thing to do. And maybe, just maybe, with all of the job openings, what if more Christians became school teachers? Maybe the whole woke business and sex ed and DEI and retelling of history might actually start shifting in the other direction. So if you are thinking about a job that I think will have some security, we're always going to need a human being in the classroom. I can't imagine. Well, I guess robots could take that over too. But in the meantime, I think it might be an opportunity for you if you're looking to study for a career where you're actually going to be needed before getting laid off by AI. Jimmy, did you find it?
No, but I'm on the trail.
Well, you just stay on that trail. And please, you know what? Here's another encouragement to become a teacher, perhaps specifically a kindergarten teacher. Headline, a North Carolina kindergarten teacher was just fired because he identified as trans wolf. What in the world? North Carolina! He identified as trans wolf, wore a collar and tail in class. It was a substitute teacher. How did he get through? Were there no interviews? worked with kindergarten and pre-K classes, sometimes wore women's clothing along with a dog collar and an animal tail while at school. Sometimes asked students to howl like wolves and told the children that he turned into a wolf at night, making a lot of the kids afraid he was going to come and eat them. The teacher told students he was actually a woman who likes boys. Oh, boy. Please, Christian, think about becoming a kindergarten teacher. This is Wretched Radio.
You ever had a question that you weren't sure your small group could handle? Like, what does the Bible actually say about mental health? How do you comfort someone who just lost a spouse? Or what does biblical manhood look like for a 20-something who's never seen and modeled? These aren't easy topics, but they're the exact topics our Fortis Forums tackle. We've got Dr. Greg Gifford on psychology versus scripture. Dr. Adam Tyson walks guys through what it means to be a man after God's own heart. Libby Glosson and Martha Peace on what joy-filled marriage actually looks like. And Dr. John Grotz on moving theology from your head to your heart. And all of these Fortis Forums are available right now on Fortis Plus for free on your phone, your tablet, and even your TV. These are real conversations on real issues with people who actually know their Bibles. So you can go and download the Fortis Plus app right now on wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options. Be a doormat or be a bulldozer. Soft or harsh, passive or angry. But scripture paints a different picture altogether. A man who's strong and gentle, leading with conviction and compassion. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. It's streaming now on Fortis Plus. It's not macho, nor is it passive, but it's biblically strong and spiritually steady. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Men don't guess at manhood. They learn it from God's Word. Gentleman, exclusively on Fortis Plus. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Look, here's something that I've noticed, and maybe you have too, but it's really easy for us to treat our faith sometimes like a category. As Sunday is Sunday. Work is work. Parenting is parenting. And somewhere in there, you try to be a Christian, but it doesn't always feel like it's all connected. That's why Dr. John Krotz and his podcast, Integrated, is so incredibly important. Dr. Krotz is a pastor. He's an author. He's a biblical counselor. And he's a Fortis Institute fellow and the host of Integrated. And he is helping people see how scripture speaks to every part of their life. Not just the spiritual stuff, but the practical, everyday, how do I actually live this stuff out stuff. And if what we're doing at Fortis Institute has been a source of encouragement for you, I want to ask you to consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Help us continue producing content just like Integrated that connects the dots. Go to fortisinstitute.org right now and find out how to join us. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Books of the Bible. The Book of Psalms is a collection of divinely inspired songs of praise for every season in life. There are songs of lament, thanksgiving, praise, celebration, and remembrance of God's mighty deeds. All to help us find our soul's delight in God in all circumstances. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It began with the letter T. Pretty sure of that. This is Wretched Radio. You found the word.
I did.
It begins with T.
That's right. You're
is
right.
Is it Tifle? T-I-F-L-E?
Close.
Okay. What is it?
Tifa.
Tifa.
T-I-F-A.
Well, see, here's what you don't know. That's the singular. The plural is Tifle. Because the talk show host
never
can't
wrong.
Be wrong. So that's the strategy of the communists to win arguments and to persuade people. Frame it in such a way that you simply do not have the time to argue against it. And if you endeavor to do so, you look like you're cruel for wanting to take a different position. It's not the same as Mott and Bailey, but it is a tactic. And I think the other tactic that I just saw on full display was from that liberal group of theologians who just bombard you with so much. It's like on and on and on. And so many of the sentences, well, let me just torture you one more time and give you an example of this, because yikes, I think it is effective to a degree. And we just need to be aware of it. So I'm going to read, this is why we write. There are moments that call for repentance. Well, that sounds good. That's Christian. And resistance. Wait, what? They use the word resistance multiple times, by the way. Courage and conviction, faith and fortitude. This is one of those moments. Okay, you could affirm all of that. But what do they mean by repentance? From whom? Resistance. Define it, please. Courage to do what? The question is, what will we do now? Now, this is where they really lay it on. We're facing a cruel and oppressive government. Okay, that alone requires like unpacking. And we haven't even completed the sentence yet. Are we facing a cruel and oppressive government? For instance, I could respond and say, well, who are they oppressing exactly? And furthermore, if you're not a legal citizen, this isn't your government. And it just takes days to unwind this. And what is the result? It's kind of Tifa-like. We're facing a cruel and oppressive government. Well, hold on. I don't think so. Suddenly, you like you're okay with cruelty and oppression. It continues. Citizens and immigrants being demonized, disappointed, and even killed. Well, no, wait a second. You mean the people who like tried to kill a police officer and got killed in response? Yeah, so yeah, but see how you have to just break it all down? Haven't even finished the sentence yet. The erosion of hard-won rights and freedoms, which ones are we talking about here? And a calculated effort to reverse America's growing racial and ethnic diversity effort. Is that what's happening here so that we're racist? Well, let me explain why that sentence is not exactly right or correct. By the way, the sentence isn't done. This is very Pauline. This is like the longest run-on sentence. All of which are pushing us toward authoritarianism and imperial rule. Okay. That is so much. And it is loaded with so many things that demand some sort of defining and tightening up. You can't engage with it. You can't engage with this. And it's a tactic of the liberals. Hey, Jimmy.
Yes.
I don't know if you heard this. Hasn't been announced yet. It appears just awkward. Awkward. It appears that maybe I'm getting the award for the nicest talk show host of the year.
Oh, who's giving it? You?
Well, yeah, right. Exactly. I guess I didn't hear you immediately. So apparently you're like my little children. Dad. Oh, me. Okay, I get your jab. All right, I got it. No, I'm going to be nicer because there's a headline that I just read and I went, ooh, I wouldn't phrase it that way because I am really set against telling local pastors what to do. I can encourage, if somebody's living in sin, okay, well, that's pretty straightforward and easy. But the way that a pastor chooses to run a church, man, we either believe in the autonomy of the local church or we don't. And so I would soften up this headline that says 5 warning signs in the American church leaders must address. No, they must not necessarily address it, but they might want to think about it. So being the nice talk show host I am, that is the way I will present this to you, dear pastor. These are things that you might want to consider examining in the context of your local church to see, do we need some shoring up? This is from State of Christianity in America. They did a long report. From Back to the Bible. I didn't know that ministry was, is it the same ministry? Is it a part of that seminary in Denver you can't figure out?
Maybe, it could be.
I think I maybe just did a Tifa on you. If I do another one, I'll have done Tifels on you. It's the SALT Index from Back to the, that was Woodrow Kroll. Jimmy, would you look up who's leading back to the Bible?
Okay.
I remember Woodrow Kroll. I don't know that I listened to him constantly just based on listening patterns, because back then there weren't no such thing as Spotify. You had to listen to the program when it was on. You didn't get to program radio. It programmed you. And I always thought he was a nice man, and I thought he was biblical, everything that I recall hearing from him. And he just had a kindly voice. Woodrow Kroll from Back to the Bible. Let me know if you figure out who it is now. So here's one thing for you to consider, Pastor. Core beliefs are widely held, but salvation assurance is alarmingly low. And it cites a bunch of statistics to support that. And I can tell you anecdotally, it's true. The issue of assurance, you'd be shocked. Oh, there are so many dear saints that you just wouldn't imagine who wobble. They just, I'm doing better today. Yesterday with tomorrow, I hope that I'm feeling a little bit more secure in my salvation. It's just a malady, and it's not new. The Puritans, they discuss this issue that people need preaching that helps them to know that they can rest and trust the Lord. So, Pastor, if you weren't aware of that, I might possibly, humbly, nicely suggest you consider what might you be doing to shore people up in their assurance. Number two, Bible engagement and community lag far behind from prayer. So apparently people are claiming they pray a lot, but engaging with their Bible, not so much. They're doing more praying. Now, I don't know what that looks like. It could be mealtime prayers. It could be morning, Lord, thank you for the day. Bless it and keep my kids safe. Amen. And off to work you go. And then it could be right before you fall asleep and start drooling on your pillow. Thank you for this day. You're out. I don't know. But apparently there's more of that than Bible engagement and community, that people are not, they're not plugged into their church and living in Christian community. The belief, here's another one that I think is huge. They didn't cite this as a different area of potential concern for a local church, but they write this: the belief practice gap. In other words, knowledge of faith and application of faith, there's a gap, reveals that many claim to have faith, but few integrate it into daily rhythms or community. Wait a second. We've got a podcast that is called Integrated. That's exactly what it is about, because it is a challenge. And it is good to have a wise, sage voice like John Crotts be able to say, here's how you can look at this. Here's how you can do this so that it's all working together. Jimmy, I've heard there's a book coming out. Now, apparently it's December 1st is the date. I don't know. December, called Go Serve Your King. Have you heard about it?
I've heard some rumblings.
It's intended to bring that dualistic propensity under control so that you realize. See, here's the interesting thing. You actually can't be separated from your faith. That's because no matter what you do, you are operating in God's closed system. You can't get out of it. You are contributing to the glory of God. One way, you're either doing it well or you're doing it poorly. You're doing it positively or you're doing it negatively, but you are contributing to the glory of God. You just need to be aware of it and understand how it's functioning so that you can participate in it and experience the joy of your salvation. I'll let you know when the date changes. By the way, who's running back to the Bible?
Dr. Arnie Cole.
Arnie Cole. I don't know, Arnie. Sounds like a nice fellow. There seems to be a shallow understanding of Christian principles where Christian language is familiar, but not formative. Number three, discipleship is stagnant. People aren't discipling, nor are they being discipled. Internal transformation outpaces external change. So they're feeling like they're changing on the inside, but when friends and family are asked, they're not seeing it. Uh-oh, that can be a problem, that people aren't seeing the fruit of regeneration in other people. All of these, I think, can be helped mightily from the pulpit, mightily. The Christian history of being wobbly in salvation and assurance and not knowing how to integrate their faith with reality, it has a long history. What say we put an end to that chapter by the way that we preach, exalt Jesus, and show how he is a part of our lives 24/7. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.